Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Dutenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Make it simple, 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on YouTube, Facebook, and what used to be Twitter. All kinds of things coming up on the show today. 11:33, Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here to talk all things sports balls. I know we're going to be talking quite a bit about the Brewers. And then Brittany Merlot will wrap up the show with Weather and Wine at 11:50 and take a look at the long weekend and what is in store for us.
But I have a question.
Yeah.
How did Dan Schaefer get in the live stream here? It's Thursday.
It is Thursday.
Wait, what?
Yep.
In the live stream?
Dan Schaefer is here. He normally joins us on Fridays from 10:30 to 11, but your long weekend starts tomorrow, as does mine, Dan Schaefer. Right. So we're really happy to have you start off the show with us today so we can do some recombobulating with the gentleman from the award-winning Recombobulation Area. So you have a new column. Speaking of the recombobulation area, talking about the RNC, it's 2 months away.
All of a sudden, it's right around the corner.
Seriously.
It's you know, we're in the final, you know, it's less than 2 months away. It's 50-some days from now. We are, and as we, you know, approach this, you know, I think we're going to be, there's going to be so many stories in Milwaukee and in southeastern Wisconsin about what's happening with the RNC, you know, Milwaukee's place on the stage. And what I wrote in this column is what I wanted people to remember and consider as we go forward on this path toward the RNC. So the column I wrote is titled Milwaukee's Political Bargain at the Heart of Hosting the RNC. And so the RNC is coming soon, of course. Many in the city are not thrilled. I don't know what kind of conversations you've all been having with your friends and neighbors and whatever, but I know a lot of people who are planning on getting out of town and avoiding this entirely.
I'm sure. Yeah. Especially if you live downtown and if you live in the areas that are going to be massively affected by the safety zones and things like that. So it's going to be kind of a pain in the neck.
Right. And I know there are so many people who are opposed to this, opposed to Milwaukee hosting this convention, just on principle, on, you know, just in opposition to the this version of the Republican Party. And the way it has, you know, talked about and written policy towards the city of Milwaukee in so many ways over the years. And I certainly don't want to discount any of those concerns because I think they're valid and I think they're important. And I think there is something that Milwaukee does have to consider. But I think it is part of this larger political bargain that Milwaukee made. And I think it goes back to the bill signed just under a year ago, Act 12. Act 12 was the shared revenue reform and local sales tax for Milwaukee bill that was passed by the Wisconsin State Legislature. And then the Milwaukee specific pieces were approved in July of last year by the Common Council and County Board. And so I think there are these two issues of Milwaukee hosting the RNC and passing this shared revenue and local sales tax bill that kind of makes them forever inextricably linked. And I think there was this window of opportunity for new leadership in Milwaukee and Republicans in Madison finding a way to, you know, for Milwaukee to have this long sought policy goal of having a sales tax that is a revenue stream separate from whatever's going on in Madison. As we saw for so many years that the Republican Party and the state legislature was defunding Milwaukee and cutting shared revenue and blocking the city from raising new funds. And then their tune finally changed after, you know, David Crowley and Cavalier Johnson were elected in Milwaukee, started having conversations that amounted to what they called a quote unquote reset with local leaders and state Republicans. And part of that reset was the RNC, and part of that reset was the shared revenue and local sales tax reform bill. So one of the things that I've been, you know, asking people in the run-up to this convention is that if Milwaukee had rejected the RNC, if the local piece of this, if the Common Council or whatever had said no, if the mayor had said no, if the local people in Milwaukee had said no, would there be an Act 12? Would there be a local sales tax that is saving Milwaukee from this fiscal cliff? And I think, you know, so many in Milwaukee have you know, the people backing the RNC have repeated the line as like, oh, it's not about red or blue, but it's about green. What I argue in this column is that it's really about black, in that getting the city and county's finances back into the black for the first time in a generation. And that's just what happened last year with the budget season, where for the first time in so long, Milwaukee city and county budgets were talking about increases and investments instead of cuts and layoffs. And so I think that, you know, as uncomfortable as this convention is for a lot of people, I think that is the political bargain that we have to consider when we look ahead to this convention and why Milwaukee is hosting it.
Well, one of the things, though, you know, you say 50 some days, and as you know this, I'm one of the co-owners of the Laughing Tap. We kind of, since last year, have been sitting there going, all right, we're going to wait for the call from somebody, whether it's, you know,
they're going to book us,
whether it's Republican based or Democrat based, or just like, hey, we want to use your space. No one has called us. It seems like nothing is happening. And you did mention in the article that the projections might be even like the conservative, and not, and that's small conservative projections for what the city could make could still be underwhelming. But it seems like even though it might be underwhelming, this was the right move for the city, because it's more about the long-term investment. If we had the RNC to get where we're at, it would be worth it.
Yeah. Where it's not necessarily about the, you know, the numbers that they were throwing around when they approved the RNC 2 years ago, you know, saying that it was a $200 million economic impact. I don't think that will be, I think even those numbers at the time, you know, there was reason, you know, plenty of reasons to question the legitimacy of those. You know, the PolitiFact gave a fact check to the mayor, or the Mayor Cavalier Johnson's claim of a $200 million economic infusion to the city as a half true rating. Yeah. You know, Marquette professor Phil Rocco, who contributes at the Recombobulation Area frequently, wrote a piece on this called "We Tell Ourselves Economic Stories in Order to Live." And so I think even the rosiest projections about that were underwhelming. And Greg, like you said, it's not just, you know, I think even some of the venues that were planning to host the RNC, I think that the stories that we've seen about this so far have seemed like the activity is going to underwhelm. So I know there was one story that said the rave in Milwaukee was initially part of that event structure for the RNC, and they have since pivoted. They didn't get enough activity, and they just booked a concert with 30 Seconds to Mars instead of having an event for the RNC.
instead of RNC, we get Jared Leto.
What's worse, really, I guess?
Dan Schaefer asking the hard questions.
You know, the Milwaukee Art Museum just announced a partnership with Baird where they're going to have free admission during the convention. There was a New York Times story that kind of flew under the radar about, you know, a month and a half ago, that published in early April with the headline, "In Milwaukee, Restaurants and Venues Worry of Seeing Limited RNC Boost."
Yeah.
You know, kind of detailed this slow roll of bookings among restaurants and events venues. And there was one example, you know, it shared in there of what the Times characterized as a clear mismatch in expectations, where somebody tried to book the 2,500 seat Riverside Theater for a 50 person movie screening.
Yeah, I saw that. When I read that, I'm like, I don't, what?
And so I think, you know, the fact that, you know, the Riverside was available and a bunch of these other venues are available still for the RNC. Now, I think there is an aspect of this too that is, you know, the Congress approved some of the additional security funding for the city a bit later than expected. So I think, you know, what I've been hearing is that kind of shifted the timeline for a lot of these events. But I still think the projections for what this is going to bring to the city will probably underwhelm. And like you said, Greg, about, you know, getting calls at the Laughing Tap or whatever, I've been hearing that too, just about general venues in Milwaukee just not having the activity, or even people asking around what's available, less than what might be expected. So I think, but again, I think even if the economic impact from this event fails to meet expectations, I still think it's the political bargain of having the sales tax that for so long Republicans had blocked. You know, I was doing some research on this. I found stories dating back to 2015 when Mayor Tom Barrett was making this case in every budget cycle. Of course, Republicans never were going to listen to Mayor Tom Barrett. But, you know, in 2015, 2017, 2019 was the same ask over and over. 2021 with some new leaders in Milwaukee reignited that ask. And at the time, Robin Voss is quoted saying, this is never going to happen. And then 2 years after saying it's never going to happen, it happened. So I think,
well, you know,
what changed that equation? I think you have to realize that the RNC was part of changing that equation.
Well, come on. You know that the Popcorn King's word is his word, and it he sticks with it all the time. In case you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is here. No, it's not Friday. It is actually Thursday. We're doing a little recombobulating early so Dan and his family can head out for the long Memorial Day weekend, and we're talking about the RNC coming to town. I'm curious, Dan. Is there special funding for events like this apart from the regular Republican National Committee? Because we all know that the RNC is having terrible money problems.
Yeah, I think it's two separate things. So like the RNC nationally, we know, is having terrible money problems. But I think there's the host committee, which is a separate entity. And I've not heard anything about any financial challenges coming from there. I mean, there may very well be some issues going on there, but I think there's, you know, a lot of commitment from Republican donors and things like that that want to have a convention. And, you know, they didn't really have a convention. They decided to have their convention at the White House, 4 years ago.
No conflict of interest there, by the way. That was fine. That was perfectly fine.
All above board, of course.
Yeah.
No corruption ever when it comes to Trump in the White House.
Oh, that was when Melania ruined the Rose Garden, wasn't it?
I liked that because it reminded me of like a 90s music video.
Stay close. Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. We will return. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are doing the recombobulation area with Dan Schaefer today instead of tomorrow, and we're talking about the Republican National Committee coming to Milwaukee in just about 2 months. And we were talking about businesses being booked, their spaces being booked, and they're kind of behind pace on that. And for those who do get booked, I would just suggest you get at least 50% down.
Just a thought. The advice that was given to me is whatever you want to be paid, you tell them that's what you want your deposit to be.
So you make sure you get paid.
You get paid what you need to get paid, because they will not. And also, this is not a Republican thing.
No,
this is
it's
a
not.
Democrat thing. This is the Canada thing. Oh, we're so out of money. We can't. So ask for either pass or ask for the full amount in the form of a deposit and then just hope for the best and everything else is gravy. So,
yeah. And you're right. It's not. I mean, Democrats have done this too and walked away from cities and not paid their bills.
Oh,
so
good gravy. Yes.
Among the delegates for this year's RNC are Scott Walker, Tommy Thompson, and Tim Michaels.
The best of the best. The best of the best.
And Paul Ryan, I'm assuming, isn't coming at all.
He's writing in a different person to go.
Oh, he is.
Very principled stand. Yeah. He's gonna write in like Ayn Rand or something like that.
Oh, good one.
John Galt. Who's John Galt? You don't read. What I find interesting, though, and I talked to you a little bit about this, Jane, it doesn't surprise me with the party being the party of Trump now, which it absolutely is. Stated it. They need to make no bones about it. Does it surprise anybody that we're 50 some days away, less than 2 months, and no super duper, even like, even beyond the security measures, not a lot of planning has happened. I feel like they're going to show up. I said to you before the show, I said, they're either going to show up 2 weeks beforehand and try to book stuff, or they're going to accidentally book it in Milwaukee, Oregon, because no one checked a map.
Don't tell them.
Let's might be a little bit discombobulated, Greg? Is that what you're suggesting here?
Dan Schaefer for the win. Dan Schaefer, give him another award, folks.
I never miss an opportunity.
But it just doesn't. It doesn't surprise me at all.
I just think, you know, this is, I think when people booked this, they thought maybe it wouldn't be Trump that would be the candidate delivering the speech at the RNC. So it might be, you know, somebody different, a different version. But now we have Trump again, and it's the third presidential election in a row that the Republican Party is nominating Trump.
God, it sucks.
And so does that make it less interesting? Are the, you know, people who travel to see, you know, his speeches and whatnot, is that, you know, you saw what was the last one that you saw, like people leaving in the middle of it, New Jersey or whatever.
Oh yeah, there was just like last
weekend. Maybe it's just, you know, the act isn't as exciting for Republicans as it was, you know, maybe 8 years ago and all that. You know, the enthusiasm seems to be down across the board for Republicans too. And I think it's reflecting in the RNC. I think we're going to see probably a whole lot more activity down the road in Chicago for the DNC in August. I think that is going to be a completely different type of affair. And I think we'll show, you know, a real contrast between the parties in the conventions too.
I'm thinking too, now we can expect Nikki Haley to show up at the RNC since she has completely flipped and now says she will vote for Donald Trump, even though at one point she said this. Calvin, let's play that clip.
Nikki Haley is in charge of security.
I wasn't even in D.C. on January 6th. I wasn't in office then. They're saying he got confused. We can't have someone else that we question whether they're mentally fit to do this. We can't.
Oh, apparently we can. It's fine. It's fine. And now, so what happened to all these Haley voters who were voting for her even after she had dropped out of the race? Mm-hmm. They continued to vote for her. And now he's going to court these people that Donald Trump has said this about Nikki Haley supporters.
Nikki Haley has made an unholy alliance with rhinos, never Trumpers, Americans for no prosperity. Did you ever hear of Americans for no prosperity?
Our
globalists and radical left communists to get liberals and Biden supporters to vote for her in the Republican primary.
So Haley voters, you are radical leftist communists. Surprise.
See you in Chicago.
I think Haley she's the latest example of why so many of us cannot take these supposedly anti-Trump Republicans seriously.
Yeah.
Because if you actually believe Trump is a threat to democracy and you believe all the things that you had said about Trump for so many years, you have to vote for Joe Biden. He's the only candidate who can defeat Trump. And if you write in somebody else or go for a third party, you're really just voting to make yourself feel better. You're not voting to make any meaningful change happen. And I think that's what we see over and over again with these Republicans who know that Trump is dangerous and know that he is a problem and know that he is a poor leader and are still going to vote for him because they want a future in the Republican Party.
It's
so disappointing.
I can't wait to see what's written about Dan. Maybe Dan, when you're like 75, 80 years old and you're writing your 15th book, that'll be an examination of the GOP in the 2020s to say, how did they get so far? Because maybe 50 years
so far.
Yeah, maybe in 50 years they'll be better. I have no idea. Or they won't exist. Maybe no parties will exist anymore. And it'll just be Jill Stein, Lord Emperor of America.
Joe McClear on the live stream says there were never any Haley voters. They were and are just anti-Trump Republican voters. She was just their vessel. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, Joe.
I think that amounts to like, what, 15-20% of the Republican Party right now?
Yeah.
You know, she's still getting like a lot of votes in a lot of these Republican primaries as we can kind of continue to play out the process. It's, you know, there are a lot of people in the Republican Party who don't want to vote for Trump. And I just think that voting third party or leaving that part of the leaving the presidential part of the ballot blank, that does nothing.
No,
the only way to stop Trump is to vote for Joe Biden. Yep. Period.
Yeah.
He's the only candidate who can beat Trump.
Yep. A write in for
that's your option.
Yeah, a write in for anybody. A vote for Bob Jr. Bob RFK Jr. A vote for anybody else other than Biden is a vote for Trump. It just is.
Yeah. I think it's also funny that Nikki Haley had the nerve to go on television and say he needs to court those voters and let them know that he's like, that's hilarious. You think he's an adult.
They're radical leftist communists. I mean, it's too late.
Never Trumpers.
It's too late.
So.
People think liberals are unrealistic. Yeah. My goodness.
Dan Schaefer, thank you so very much for joining us. You will be back with us next Friday at 10:30 at your regular time. Enjoy the long weekend and have safe travels with your family.
You as well. Thanks so much for having me.
Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Make sure you subscribe. It is multiple award-winning column. Stay close. News is coming up next. And after that, Sam Alito lets his freak flags fly. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Cleveland. Hoping for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. Populate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me? Something naughty in your eyes. Well, there's no shame in just being who you are.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. You can call, you can text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. Thank you for joining us on the live stream, by the way, on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform Elon continues to actively ruin. Samuel Alito, Supreme Court Justice. Of course, I think we talked about this. Wasn't it just yesterday?
Yeah, of the nine, he's the hunky one. Yes.
Oh, that yes. Of course, that's exactly what I was thinking. So Samuel Alito, in between the attack on the Capitol on January 6th and in between that date and January 20th, when Joe Biden was inaugurated as president, had been flying an upside down flag outside of his home.
Yes.
Which he said was his wife's fault. Because she was having an argument with a very political neighbor who had an F Trump sign in their yard. And he alleged that small children could see it because they were waiting for the bus. Unfortunately, that turned out to be not true because schools weren't in session then. Oopsie.
I had to think about this yesterday. I have one bone of contention with this story. Supreme Court Justice. Where do you think they live? Like in the D.C. area. A nice neighborhood.
Oh, I would imagine so.
Nice homes.
Mm-hmm.
Well-manicured lawns. Some would probably say there's an HOA there. And I have a feeling, just a smidge of a feeling, that an HOA would not allow an F Trump sign on any lawn or any sort of any sign, period, because we know HOAs are evil. But I just have a hard time believing that A.
That would be allowed.
That would be allowed. And B, I've seen a lot of terrible men blame their wives for things like, you know, oh, they're driving or you forgot this and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, that upside down flag that like cries out that the country is in danger and all these terrible things. It was the old ball and chain. She did that.
Yeah, it's her fault.
Yeah, her fault.
Well, now it turns out a second type of flag that was carried by rioters during the attack on the Capitol on January 6th was also flown outside of a home owned by Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito and his wife.
How many houses do they have?
Come on. You don't expect them to stay in their big place in D.C. all the time, do you? What's the point in being Supreme Court Justice if you can't live life large?
The way Clarence Thomas made it sound like with regard to their salaries, it was like they were country bumpkins who are destitute. They make like 300 grand a year.
Budgeting, yeah, Greg. It's hard.
Less cheese on your Whopper.
So this appeal to heaven flag was seen flying outside of Alito's beach vacation home last summer. This appeal to heaven flag, it's white with a green pine tree on it. This apparently has a long history. It was flown. I'm just trying to find it. It has a long history, but... Oh, yes, it dates back to the Revolutionary War, but in more recent years, this appeal to heaven flag is now associated with Christian nationalism and support for Donald Trump.
That's interesting, because there is actually a Christian national flag. It's a white flag with, I believe, so picture in your mind an American flag.
Okay.
Instead of stripes, it's just white, and then in the little square on the left side, it's either a blue background with a red cross or vice versa in color. But that's also, I've seen many churches, usually non-denominational, a little bit more on the right-leaning side, a little more hardcore with their politics. They fly that flag. It's a way of saying, this is our flag. We don't, you know, this is Christians' flags.
Okay.
They love flags. It's weird.
What should happen to Samuel Alito, if anything? This is bringing renewed calls for Alito to step aside from any and all Trump-related cases going before the Supreme Court, including whether or not Donald Trump has complete and total immunity for anything he's ever done and might do in the future.
I think between this and between the corruption, I think he should just step down, period, because he's not fit to serve as an impartial justice on the highest court in the land with no oversight, lifetime appointment, and what seems to be total impunity.
Absolutely. There have been no ramifications. Can we at least start with term limits, maybe?
Oh, absolutely.
And start with that?
But here's the question I ask then. How do we, is it term limits and then the president, we do the same process then?
For the president?
So let's say we have 10-year terms.
Okay.
And Clarence Thomas is up for grabs. He's up for reappointment. Is it an appointment thing, or do we elect Supreme Court Justice? I don't want to elect Supreme Court Justice. I don't. That's too scary. I don't want to see those commercials.
Oh, God. Can you imagine? 855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton is joining us. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks so much for calling. What did you want to say?
Well, I'm all for term limits for the Supreme Court justices, and I don't think it should be 10. I think it should be 9, just an oddball thing for some reason. But anyway, Jane, you've spoiled the fact that I will never be able to look at a pine tree again.
Have I ruined pine trees for you forever?
Yes, you have.
Cindy?
I'm sorry, Cindy.
The power of pine is more powerful than the power of Trumpers. They'll be here after we're gone. So there.
Pine trees will be here after we are all gone.
They laugh at our idiocy.
Thank you so much, Cindy, and always appreciate you listening. Thank you so very, very much. What should happen to Samuel Alito? I know there was talk in the House yesterday about censuring him. Ooh.
Oh, boy.
No, not that.
Why don't you just take away his PlayStation while you're at it? He's got one in his beach house. He doesn't care.
And make him stay in his bedroom at the beach house.
Yeah. These aren't punishments. These aren't... They don't matter. There was a time when a censure actually mattered. It was a smudge.
It was a shame, wasn't it?
It was shameful. To get a censure. Nowadays, if you get censured, you stand up and you pop your collar and say, yeah, I did it. I said it. Do something. There's nothing you do. It's a slap on the wrist. It's nothing. We need an overhaul of the court is what we need.
An expansion of the court, which is not unheard of.
Oh, yeah. I mean... But I don't know how that totally solves the problem, because in a year from now, let's say Biden puts another four people, let's make it 13, on the court. In a year, if Trump wins, he's got some slots he can fill. Because I guarantee you, if Trump wins, Alito and Thomas retire.
Oh, I'm sure you're right. And that's really important for us all to remember when we head into the voting booth in November.
Yep.
when you're voting for president, long-term ramifications, long-term ramifications if Trump gets in office and gets to appoint more justices to the Supreme Court.
And $50 more says those justices he would appoint would be some of the youngest you'd ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Late 30s, early 40s,
yep.
Sycophants,
yep.
Who would fly through a Senate confirmation process.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that like, but I think besides packing the court or expanding the court, I should say, we need term limits. I think Cindy's idea is a great idea. It's like you say, like, all right, the next one come in, it's 10 years. For the next one, it's 8 years. You stagger it so you don't have, like, five of them coming up at once.
All
you
make at the same time.
Exactly. And you make it easier to get rid of them. Just make it easier to get rid of them.
Well, and don't you think, too, the fact that they are there for life imbues them with this non-accountability. I don't have to be accountable to anybody. What are you going to do to me?
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want, and I don't answer to anyone because I'm supreme.
Now, you got nine people there with probably gigantic egos.
Oh, yeah.
Who probably think to themselves, I'm not going to side with the president on this unqualified immunity because I have unqualified immunity. Or I have qualified. Sorry, not unqualified. Qualified immunity. I have total and utter immunity. I can't. Nothing's going to happen to me no matter what I say. But the president, that's a nothing job. They'll be gone in 4 years. They're not like me. I'm a Supreme Court justice.
I'm here forever.
I just could see his request tangling with their ego and them smacking him down saying, you're not a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, but I think at least where Alito and Thomas are concerned, they want to see Trump's agenda enacted. They're on board with all of it. Although I'm very confused by Clarence Thomas, because one of the things that they think are going to be coming in into sites is the Griswold decision, which allowed mixed race marriages.
Yeah.
And I guess Clarence thinks he's going to get special dispensation for something like that if they would overturn that.
And I thought that just meant to me, if Griswold was overturned, that it would just then be another issue of states' rights. So, you know, what Wisconsin decides is going to be very different. Well, I'm not going to use Wisconsin.
Yeah, we don't know
that. I will
that.
Not use it. Calvin said, I think, he said in the chat here, he said, I think 12 years with three justices being up every 4 years makes the most sense, so it is synced with presidential terms. That's, you know, Calvin, you should run for office. You should revamp
the court.
You got
time. You got time, Calvin.
Yeah.
We can gear. We'll search on a.
How old are you?
I got a long time.
How old
well,
are you?
I think I could run for Congress, technically. I'm 25.
You can run for Congress. You can run for Congress.
And I don't know. That sounds like a lot of pressure and work.
You heard it here, folks. Calvin is throwing his hat in the ring for Congress. He's running today. You can do it. Brian Stile, watch out.
Coming, Cal is coming for you. Cal is coming for you.
And you don't want to see Caliente.
Andrew in Maine says an appointment to the Supreme Court is 20 years max. You get one term and you retire. Also, Andrew says Thomas expects that by the time the right for African Americans to vote is revoked, he'll be dead. Yeah.
That man will never die. He's processed by pure evil.
Well, yeah, there was some deal made somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You kind of wonder. Very interesting article in Vox from Ian Millhiser about Samuel Alito. And we'll include this in the show notes because he really delves into Alito's decisions over the decades and how he sides with plaintiffs. The bias is so blatant.
Yeah, they don't even hide
just
it anymore.
It's so right out there that it's amazing.
We always knew Supreme Court justices had biases. Everyone does. Everyone has those.
We all
those.
Do.
We
you
all
have. I do. You do.
Yeah. Well, I'm a perfectly centered person. I don't. No one knows how I vote.
I apologize.
No one knows how I vote. Nobody knows how I vote.
Okay.
And you kept it to yourself, it came out in your decisions, but there was still like someone like John Roberts, the Chief Justice. He has put his names on what could be considered some very liberal things, gay marriage, the ACA, the fact that he was the decider on some of those and he was one writing opinions to keep these liberal based beliefs or bills. That was, you know, that was kind of the cool thing about the Supreme Court is you didn't know where they were going to go because there could be just one sentence that made them say, nope, I disagree with this. I know I'm a right-leaning guy, but I believe in this sense we need to do this that adheres to the left. Now It's just you can walk out with his robe open, just having a Trump Forever t-shirt on, and that just seems perfectly acceptable. Or a t-shirt with an upside down American flag.
Well, let's not forget that when Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh were having their hearings to be appointed to the Supreme Court, they all claimed that Roe was precedent and would not be touched. So essentially, they just all sat there and lied.
Yep. Yep. The best thing I ever saw was a political cartoon with the three of them saying the same thing at the same time. It's like it's codified law, and they all had their hands behind their back with their fingers crossed. I mean, just think about that. They lied, and there's no reckoning for them for lying in front of a Senate confirmation committee on this matter.
Yeah, nothing.
There is no repercussions.
Not even a censure, which does nothing.
Yeah. So, and also, get rid of all nine of them. Start again. I don't like any of them anymore. Period.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We have Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham checking in on this. On the other side, stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call, text, same number, 855-752-4842, 855-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Coming up next hour at 11:33, Paul Noonan will be here from the Acme Packing Company. We're going to talk about the Brewers. Greg, I know that is giving you some pains.
We lost the series to the Marlins. I mean, the Marlins. Oh. We might as well have lost to a little league team.
Oh, man. All right, we'll be kicking that around. And then next hour at this time, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be here with a little weather and wine. And we're going to talk about, there were four tornadoes in Wisconsin that touched down in Wisconsin in that storm system that came through Tuesday night. And so she's going to join us to talk about that. That is at 10:50. And then we'll take a look at the weekend weather if you have plans for this Memorial Day weekend. We were talking about Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito letting his freak flags fly. He had the upside down American flag flying out at his home in Washington, D.C. Blamed it on his wife, of course, for having a tiff with the neighbors.
You know, the ladies are so emotional over politics.
I know. I couldn't stop her. I tried. And now he is flying a... It's the Appeal to Heaven flag, which dates back to the Revolutionary War, but it is long, in the last probably decade, it's been associated with the Christian nationalist movement. And so he's got that flying outside of his beach house. Sort of seems like he's just proving to us that he has no bias whatsoever. He's perfectly fine.
What is, I'm about to go hardcore Seinfeld on this one. What is the deal with Republicans, specifically white people, specifically white men, and their love of everything from the 18th century?
That's when life was good, Greg.
The Don't Tread on Me flag, the 13 stars flag, t-shirts I see walking around going 1776, which I guess means we need to go back to those times. I got questions for you because there were problems back then. And, you know, communicable diseases just running through the water is just a light one in that problem pile. But just this thing of like back in those days. Nope, I'm going to stop you right there. Back in those days. They weren't great days.
But women were still property, and they couldn't vote.
Well, I'm not going to...
Things weren't great.
I'm not going to argue that point. I'm going to... No, but that's the thing is, like, there's just this open
nostalgia. Longing.
But none of them were alive. They don't know. They would not have lasted 20 minutes. They would have died of typhus.
Well, we talked about this when they talked about when Wisconsin had that 1848 ban on abortion that was on the books. And we looked up some of the medical practices from the 1840s. They were big on leeches and bloodletting. It was a great time to be alive.
Crack that skull open, let out those spirits.
Yeah. Bad humors.
Yeah, bad humors.
You got to get the bad humors out. Carmela from Milwaukee texting in again at 855-75-CIVIC. I believe the same thing as Cindy, term limits for Supreme Court justices. And I felt the same when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was on the court. She should have stepped down when she was fighting cancer. Thank you, Carmela. Absolutely. Yep. What an enormous disappointment and what an error in judgment.
Yeah. I mean, she probably thought, like we all did, like all the polls said, polls mean nothing, that Hillary was going to win. And she was probably going to step down, retire, and allow her to appoint, allow then Madam President Clinton to appoint her successor. I said to you off air, can you imagine what Ruth Bader Ginsburg was thinking the moment they announced that Donald Trump had won? That she'd probably, I made a huge mistake. Because now, I mean, well, she couldn't have retired anyways even a year before that because they didn't allow Merrick Garland to even get a hearing.
Yeah, a hearing, right.
So,
and what a, man, oh man, that was, that's painful to remember. While we still have this queued up, Calvin, talking about Justice Alito flying his freak flags, and I want to hear from Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham weighing in on this. So let's play that clip, Calvin.
Was that appropriate for the justice to do that? And should he recuse himself in any cases relating to the election?
It seems to me there are just nonstop attacks on the Supreme Court.
What?
Week after week after week.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
I don't know what happened in the neighborhood. I don't think he should be recused, but I don't think it's, you know, this creates a bad image. And I mean, I don't know what happened. You know, all I can say is it created a situation that we're all talking about. So, yeah, I think it was a mistake.
If Associate Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was walking down the street and happened to bump into someone wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, and someone caught that on video, they would be calling for her to be thrown out of the court.
And I have to laugh with Mitch McConnell saying, these attacks on the Supreme Court, it's just, it's never... Yes, Mitchster, because wealthy people are buying off our Supreme Court justices by taking them on fancy trips and giving them RVs.
And buying their mama's homes.
Buying their mom's house. And I don't know, stuff like that kind of makes them look, looks a little bad.
This reminds me, like, I've talked about this before as a comedian, the whole thing of like, you know, can't say anything, everyone's so sensitive. And I'll say the same thing to Senator McConnell that I'll say about that, about the comedy subject. No one's attacking the court. We're calling for responsibility and we're calling for accountability and we're calling for people to just act right. We're not saying you can't, I mean, some of us are saying you shouldn't do it, but we're saying is Samuel Alito, you need to be called on the carpet for your behavior. This is behavior unbecoming a Supreme Court justice.
And he should recuse himself from any Trump-related cases.
At the very
especially
least.
Especially the immunity cases.
At the very least. At the very least.
Definitely. All right, we have news coming up next. Don't forget, you can always leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. News is next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.